What did God tell him to do? Last week, he told him to utterly destroy him. He said, get rid of the wickedness, get rid. And we dealt with that last week, how that emotionally affects us. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to think about that. But we showed how they were wicked people. They were evil people. How their cup was full of violence and full of wrath and full of wickedness. And he says, and did not utterly drive them out. Now, it might not always be drive them out, but it talks about drive them out and drive them out over and over in the book of Judges. You see that phrase. Because Israel was failing at what God had told him to do. And if you read through the book of Judges this week, and like I said, I encourage you, read through the books as we get to it. Next week, it's a pretty short one. It's Joshua Judges, short one. So you should be able to read through that book, get an understanding, get a learning, try to see. Once again, the story is really cool, and many times preachers look at it from those stories and those perspectives. But when you're trying to piece everything together and look at everything, we got to look at why Israel continued to fail here in the book of Judges. We already talked a little bit about the book of Joshua here. We saw that we saw the people were brought into the land. We saw how the people conquered the land. We saw how the Lord was the man of war. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. That's one of the things we learned about last week. We need to put our faith and trust in God. God is continually and perpetually at war with God. Remember, he said he's a man of war. Is he at war with the Canaanites? No, he's at war with sin. God commands the Israelites to utterly destroy the Canaanites. The responsibility of the people to live by faith and trust God to pay the way. This is what we need to learn how to do, is to trust God and ask him to pay the way. And that's what God's saying he is willing to do. Let's see if we can get all those words on there for you. There we go. The book of Joshua there. Let's look at the next thing here. Now we come to the book of Judges. And what do we see in the book of Judges? It covers us from the death of Joshua to the death of Samson. This book portrays relapses into idolatry. You know, once again, they go away from serving God. And what God showed him in Joshua, God showed him in the wilderness, he's not just going to punish the Gentile. He's going to punish the Jew. And the same thing, God is not just going to punish the sinner and the unsaved. He's also going to punish the saved when they go away from him. The book portrays the series of relapses into idolatry on the part of God's people, followed by the invasions of the promised land and oppressions by their enemy. And the story is a story of defeat, deliverance, and disappointment. And you say, defeat, we see that when they fail, God allows them to be defeated. God uses the accompanying nations that they should have drave out or driven out already to come back. And then God delivers them. But it's also disappointment. Why is it disappointment? It's because they never fulfilled what God wanted them to do. In our Christian lives, we must learn to try to fulfill what God wants us to do. This is the reason why God told the Israelites to utterly destroy the Canaanites. He knew that if Israel did not utterly destroy the Canaanites, they would eventually get in among them, and it would not be long before they would be bowing down to the gods of the Canaanites. The Israelites did not destroy them, talking about the Canaanites, and we are going to see over the next 100 years, sure enough, the Canaanites assimilated among the children of Israel, and sure enough, the children of Israel began to bow to their gods. Here's the point. God said, you need to get rid of all of them because once you stay in there among them, he says, I know you're going to become like them. He says, I know your heart. I know how weak you are. And this is the reason why you must get rid of them all. This is the reason why you must clean out. And how do we apply this to our own lives? God knows our weaknesses, and God knows the things that we struggle with. And that's why he puts in his book and inside his word certain guidelines and certain rules and certain things to help us live. It's not to take our fun away. It's not to try to lord over us. Instead, he says, I know how weak you are. I know you're a man of flesh. I know you're a woman of flesh. And I know that you're going to be tempted. Because of that, set no wicked thing before your eye. Because of that, watch your relationships. Because of that, and you talk about all those different things that God puts in his book for us about entertainment, relationships, how we should live day-to-day lives. You say, Pastor, I don't see the importance of it. The Israelites didn't see the importance of getting rid of the Canaanites. And what happened to them? They got in there. They got among them. And what? Before long, they're bowing down to the Canaanites. And you say, well, I would never bow down to anything. I can almost guarantee if you're not living for God today and you let things slip and slide in your life, there are things you put before God that you never, ever thought you would have. And there are things that you bow down today and say, you know what? I'd rather do this than be obedient to God's word. And that's what the Israelites did. He said, get rid of the Canaanites. And that's what I'm trying to impress upon you. You know, why was it so important? God, the Lord, man of war, I don't understand that idea of God. He knew what was going to happen to his people. He knew. And he, once again, he's trying to bring out a people. He's trying to bring a deliverer. Now, earlier you saw that that there was Moses that was the leader, then Joshua. Now there's no leader here in Judges. Why no new leader? Why no new leader when it comes to the whole nation? Well, see, God had already dealt with them about this. God wanted to bring them into the land, and this was supposed to be a period of theocratic rule in which Jehovah is himself is Israel's king invisible. And he wanted to be the king. He wanted to be the ruler. He'd given them laws. He'd given them all the guidelines to follow. He instituted all this. He made this nation. He taught them how to live. They were supposed to follow God. This was set up to be a theocracy. They were to simply follow God's law. They were to be governed by these laws. The whole idea was God was to be their leader. Now, here's another key verse that you find in here. What does it say in Judges chapter 6, 17, verse 6? Also, the last verse in all the books says this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. You know, there was supposed to be a king. It's supposed to be God. But here, they did not recognize him as God. They did not follow him as king. They did not look to him as leadership. And because of that, it says, in those days was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. See, they thought, I don't have any leadership. I don't have anybody telling me what to do. I don't have a figurehead. But God says, that's not the way he created this nation. That's not what God desired. God desired for them just to be obedient and follow him and let God lead them and show them. See, these weren't warriors. These weren't men of war. These were shepherds that God had given this land to. And he says, okay, now what you need to do is follow after me. Now, you say, why could they trust in God? Well, with Moses and Joshua, what did God do? He intervened time after time. He did some miraculous things. We remember the stories to show them that God was going to fight the battle for them. They were not a great army. They were mostly shepherds. They were supposed to rid the land of Canaanites. And see, they were willing to follow God when it came to the redemption side. They were willing to follow God when it meant them getting the land. But when it came to something they did not understand and they did not want to do, they chose to say, forget it. I don't see why these Canaanites you need to get rid of. God knew, though. They did not obey this command. This started a new chapter in the history of this nation. When they stopped obeying God, everything changes. You'll see here, from Judges to 2 Chronicles, you have a story of Israel living in the Promised Land, where God wanted them to stay at forever, where God had prepared them to be in the Promised Land. But then at the end of 2 Chronicles, you have what? It's what we're learning about on Wednesday nights. The Babylonians came. The Babylonians came and they destroyed Israel. Had they obeyed God, who knows how much of history would have been different? No one knows how much of history would have been different, how much history would have been changed if this theocracy, the way that God had set it up for it to work and rule. Sometimes we wonder what it would have been like back in the garden if Adam and Eve had never sinned and what the garden would be like today and things like that. It's the same question here. If the Israelites would have obeyed, I wonder how much history would have been different. Here, we must remember, they could trust in God. And once again, this is applicable to us. We can trust in God. He has set it up here. He's made us a person where we have an opportunity to serve him or not serve him, to choose to live for him or not live for him. The nation of Israel was brought to this promised land. He says, okay, I want to be your king. That's the way he wanted the nation to work. But instead, in their mindset, there was no king in Israel. There was no one leading them. But the Lord wanted to be the one leading them. And that's what God wants to do in your heart. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to be your leader. He wants to be your king. He wants to be the one leading and directing your steps. He says, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. You know, it's not the preacher that leads and directs each step of yours. He leads the church and he helps you. It's your job to follow the Lord in your life and follow him in your leadership and guidance. Amen. We see here that this never-ending cycle of sin happens because they would not get rid of. Well, you say, I agree with the Israelites. If I would have been there, I wouldn't have got rid of all those Canaanites. Then you would have been disobeying God. After Joshua, once the nation was securely in their land, the people would repeat the same sin, the same grievances over and over against God. You know what they would do? They would actually go and bow down to idols. The people would drift away from God and enter into sin. God would intervene. God would judge. God dealt with them by punishing them for their sin. The people repented. God would raise up a deliverer. Then they would have the blessing of God. But then they would do the same thing again and enter into sin. It was a never-ending cycle. They got God's blessing. They turn away from God. They begin to sin. They begin to do these things. God sends a deliverer. They get God's blessing again. And then they fall. It was a cycle over and over. If you read the book of Judges, you saw over and over. You said, Pastor, I read the cool story. It's about the judges that were in there. Yes, but why did they have to be delivered? Why were they in this bondage over and over? It's because they kept on repeating the same sin. Now, that's applicable to us today. But the sad thing is when people do continually fall into sin, the time of repentance is farther and farther apart. Right. If you look through the story there, it seems like it took them longer and longer to get right with God. And this is a danger for us as Christians. If we just think that we can fall into sin and we can do things and just get right with God later on, that time of repentance gets farther and farther apart. But not only is it that, the grievances, the sins, seem to be more and more wicked and multiply and become more offensive to God. What do you mean? It's simple. If you keep on doing the same thing, you're going to go farther and farther down before you get right and before you continue to get right. Usually a person doesn't get right till they hit rock bottom, till they fall flat on their face. You know what? That means that next time to get it right again, you're going to fall probably flat on your face again. God is always working and talking to you. I mean, God is always trying to bring you out, and God is always trying to help you. But what happened in the nation of Israel, they got worse and worse. The times of repentance came farther and farther apart until the time came to, in the book of 1 Samuel, which is the next book, no one had heard from God in a long time. The religious system of the day was wicked. Everything was gone. And God brings up a boy named Samuel. How did that happen? How did it happen that in the nation of Israel that people didn't even feel comfortable walking down roads because on the sides of roads were robbers and thugs that would come and steal and rob them? How did it happen that they have a civil war? See, it's in this book. Again, the wickedness that Benjamin did, and Benjamin thought that he could get away with, and all these things, it's found in there because their wickedness got worse and worse and worse. And where did it all begin? They chose not to get rid of what God told them to get rid of. And that was the people. Let's think about this. Permanent value number one. Permanent value number one. You say deterioration of a nation. What does that have to do with anything? Well, that's what we're talking about. God's made a nation. He's brought them out of Egypt. He's gave them a testimony. He's given them a land. He's given them laws. He's given them a leader and the fact of himself. And he's done all these things. What happened to them? Well, they deteriorate right in front of them. In these 350 years, you look at what happens here in the book of Judges. Their nation goes from being strong. What do we learn in chapter 1, verse number 8? They were strong, but they gave tribute. They caused, instead of killing the Canaanites, they put them under tribute. They did not drive them out when they had the opportunity. God gave them the opportunity. And here, their nation deteriorates right in front of them. They and all the way up to the point when Babylon comes right in and destroys them. God gave them this law. So once they came into the land, they would not become like the Canaanites. The entire book tells us how they did not do what they were told. They appeased the Canaanites. They become like them and became friends with them. Now, and this is the important key here. This is what you don't want to miss. God said, you cannot handle living amongst these people. You're going to become like them. You're going to act like them. You're going to do all these things with them. And they're like, nah, that stuff won't hurt me. But isn't that the same thing us in our Christian lives? You can't handle watching and looking and being friends. And it, you know, and you're like, no, that stuff won't hurt me. God, you don't know what you're talking about. But the truth is, that's what happens to us. Is when we allow sin and appease sin in our hearts and our lives, we begin to learn how to bow. I want you to take a look here. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, that we talk about this in July 4th. You know, righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, that righteous living for God, living right. It lifts a nation up. What does it do? It takes it and brings it up to an exalted place. And Israel was there in the book of Joshua. Joshua, they were exalted when they were living for God and following Joshua. They were exalted. And in the nation of Egypt, they were exalted as they were followed faithfully after God. But here, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, reproach, you know, if you look at this word, and in the Old Testament, you go back to the Hebrews, this is the same type of word that you use for the word mercy. When a person looks for mercy, what do? You don't go, if I offended somebody, I'm not going to go to them with my shoulders up and my head chopped and says, hey, can you forgive me? No, I'm going to be sorrowful. I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm sorry for what I did. My head's going to be bowed. I'm going to give in and say, hey, look, what I did was wrong. And could you? And that's what the reproach does here. You know, righteousness, you don't have to hang your head, but sin, you know what it does? It makes you ashamed. And what happens in this nation, what happens with the Canaanites, righteousness would lift their nation up, but sin brought them down to not only where they were ashamed, but they began to bow to the things of the Canaanites. They began to bow to Baal. They began to bow to Ashtaroth. They began to bow to the false gods. And that's what reproach does. It brings you to a shame where you cannot control yourself, where sin makes it to where you cannot control yourself. He said, even though I don't want to drink, even though I don't want to smoke, even though I don't want to look at that, even though I don't want to continue on this, I have to bow to it because of the fact that I have not gotten rid of the things I need to get rid of. And that's what the nation of Israel is, the continual cycle of sin. This is where what we see in the book of Judges. Get the picture here that God has delivered them into their hands. And God says, look, I want you to be holy, for I am holy. Obey this law, and when you get in the land, extract the land, because if you don't, you will bow to them. You will humble to them. You will give yourself to them. And that's exactly what happens. The Israelites give themselves to the Canaanites. They allow them to get married. They allow their sons to marry their daughters, and their daughters to marry their sons. They bow to them and bow to everything about them, because of the fact they did not obey God. And they did not clear out the land. I say, what is the great sin here? What did they do that was so horrible? It's the fact that here, God, they commit this cause, this great vow. You know, God punishes them and says, 20 years, 30 years in bondage, takes away all their crops, takes away sometimes their swords. You know, what's so bad that they did? You think about it. That it was the sin of religious apostasy. What do you mean? It's they turned away from anything that was God condemned. They turned to anything that God condemned. Think about it. They tolerated what God condemned. They began to tolerate things that were out of harmony with the holiness of God. The things that God said don't do, they begin to tolerate it. They tolerated the presence of these corrupt people in the land. They endured. They didn't deal with it. They left them alone. Now, how many times do we allow that to happen in our own lives with our own sin? They put themselves under the wrath and judgment of God, and this is the first evidence of religious apostasy. I want you to think about this for a second. It never begins with an intellectual questioning. You never look at something that is found in a different religion and begin to change to it by just thinking about it with your intellect. But what happens is it begins with the tolerance of the things that are out of harmony with the holiness of God. What do you mean, Pastor? When you know something is wrong, you begin to tolerate it. Once you begin to tolerate it, you begin to admire the things that you've learned to tolerate. And then you begin to conform to it. You know, it's sort of like they turn around and they say, okay, we're not going to get rid of the Canaanites. And they begin to watch them. They tolerate the sin of the Canaanites, but then they begin to watch the sin of the Canaanites, and they says, oh, that looks kind of interesting. Hey, why do you go to that temple? Why do you go to that altar? Why do you have those fancy places with those gardens for those groves? What is it this? And what is it? You know what? And they start listening to the reasoning of the Canaanites. Besides tolerating, you know what? They begin to admire it. You know what? I know what they're doing is wrong, but you know what? They have some, and you begin to admire it. And then you know what happens after a while? You're trapped. And you begin to conform to it. And that's exactly what happens here. They commit religious apostasy. They turn around, they tolerate the sin. And as they tolerate the sin, you know what happens? They turn around and say, you know what? That looks pretty good. And then they turn around and they conform to it. These things should have been taken care of already when they first entered into the land. Why did God say destroy the Canaanites? And here's the exact reason. Because they became like the Canaanites. Christian, I want you to understand, this is what makes spiritual blindness. This is what causes us to become blind. It's because of the fact that religious apostasy begins political chaos, and then it causes blindness. So what do you mean political chaos? Well, we're looking at the deterioration of a nation. We're looking at this nation who once was serving God, living for God, deteriorate right in front of them. What happened? It started here with the religious apostasy. You know, they began to tolerate the sin that God said, get rid of. I'm holy God. I want you to be holy. Get it out of here. You can't handle it. And then they began to become chaos. See, when men are blinded, by the truth. When the Bible is not their final authority, if they do not have a absolute authority, they begin to look at truth and they say it's relative. It might be true for you, but it's not true for me. You know what happens? They become blinded to it. And when they become blinded to it, you know what happens? Men become their own gods. What did we learn earlier? There was no king in Israel. There was a king. It was the Lord. They just wouldn't recognize it. And what did it? Men did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what happens. Men became their own gods. They did what they believed is right. Welcome to 2013 in America. You know, men is doing whatever they think is right. And they're teaching us, hey, look, what might work for you doesn't work for me, but that's okay. That's a religious apostasy. It's either the truth, either Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he died for our sins, and he's the only one to heaven, or it's all a lie. It's either absolute truth or it's not. This relative truth, you know what that has caused? It has caused political chaos where we live at. And men have been blinded. You know, America has been fed so many things over the last few years, over the last couple of decades, that we have turned around, we've gulped it down, swallowed it. Well, you know what? That might be true. Or that might be. No, it's political chaos is what's going on in our world today. And there's blindness. And you know what's happening? It's deteriorating right before our eyes, just like it deteriorated in the book of Judges for that nation. And you know what happened in the end? Babylon came over and destroyed it. Now, how did it begin? They allowed the Canaanites to stay. They allowed Canaanites to have their altars, their temples, and their gardens. They tolerated what God said was evil. Religious apostasy is always the first step in national deterioration. You say, how does that apply today? Now, obviously, we can't go out and kill all the different people that are wicked around us and the evil. We can't go to Hollywood and take the machetes. We cannot do that. But we do not have to tolerate it in our own lives. We have tolerated, the churches have tolerated it in their own lives. And what has caused the problem here? We have, they're taking prayer out of public schools. They're taking the Bible out of public schools. You think about it. God punishes the sin. And then we see here that they didn't look at God as a leader anymore. We had the deterioration of a nation here that's happening right before us. They allowed the Israelite, it happening in our country today. You know, you think about it. We've sat back and allowed them to take prayer out of our public schools, the Bible out of public schools. Look at the results today. I mean, you can't even feel safe. Maybe in a little society like this, you don't feel like you're unsafe about sending your kids to school. But you go to some bigger cities, you can't even feel safe about sending your kids to a public education. And you know, our churches are filled with liberal apostasy. There's people out there that deny the virgin birth. They deny the resurrection. They deny the atonement. They deny the deity of Christ. And our churches began to apostatize. They began to fail. And what happens? They begin to adapt instead. They didn't want to shut the doors, but instead they let the things that were evil and wicked, like the world's music, come on, come join us. Maybe that will help us. They've taken the Bible out and put down self-help classes. They've taken everything that was right and holy and pure before the Lord, and they've desecrated it many times. And they turn around and say, oh, come on, let's be like everybody else. And that's what happened with the judges. It deteriorated right before. And today, there are so many churches out there with the name of a church, but they're not teaching and preaching the truth. And we turn around and we go on TV and we watch them, or we go to other places and we know people like that, and we begin to admire them and says, well, you know what? I like when they do that. And I like when they do that. And then we want to conform to be like them. And that is not exactly what happened in the book of Judges. We need to stand for the truth and believe in the truth of today. Now, I want to encourage you to understand this nation deteriorated right in front of them. They did nothing to stop it. And it's the same thing that's happening to America today. It's deteriorating right before our eyes. And we are allowing and tolerating it to happen. What can we do? Well, you know what? There are a lot of deliverers in this book, wasn't there? One of the great principles, the living value, is the fact that there is hope. Because, you know, one person made a difference in this book with God's power. But we'll get to that in a second if we have time. The administration of God. The second permanent value, not only is it deterioration of the country, but I want you to think of the administration of value here, the administration of God. God does punish sin. He's never stopped punishing sin. He still does it today. I don't like that. You hear people that says, oh, that's just wrong. You know what? They adapted. They looked at things. They liked other people's gods where God did not hold them accountable. But if you don't think God punishes sin, you might as well take your Bible and cut the book of Judges out and throw it away, because that's what the whole book is about. You know, it's all about God punishing sin. And it's over and over. The punishment of God is severe. They became like the people they were supposed to destroy. But God's punishment was always with purpose of bringing them back to a right relationship. You know, you have this idea. Pastor, you're preaching that God is being some wrathful, vengeful. No, it's all about trying to bring you back into the rightful relationship. It's not some, fire and brimstone, the idea to try to conform you into being the... No, it's the idea of saying God loves you and God wants you. God wants a right relationship with you, and he brings things into your life. And that's what he's doing here. He's not giving up on the nation. He doesn't destroy it the first time. You see here the 350 years of this book and the hundreds of years during the kings, continually sending prophets, continually sending enemies to teach them, get right with me. Be in a right relationship. Deliverance, it was always wrought with the right person, and God knew what he was doing. He always chose the right instrument. Last thing, and well, I know some had to leave, but this is the living value, this is the hopeful one, is that there is hope in God. I know some have to head out for their assignments or their ministries. There is a secondary theme that is interwoven together in this. You think about it. The general theme of the book is failure through compromise. That's what happens. That's why the country deteriorates. That's why they're where they're at. That's why you see them under bondage and see them in slavery. However, there is a secondary lesson. Hope is woven throughout this tragic story. During this time of the judges, you see that God raised up occasional deliverers to rescue Israel from oppression and minister justice. The judges teach us. What does the judges teach us? That faith in God is the one way of victory and well-being. And they went the way of the Ammonites once. They went the way of the Moabites once. They tried all different things to try to please God except for obeying. But the only one thing that God would ever honor was the way of victory and well-being. You think about Samson. God made him something special. But he never got it right. You know, he got to destroy a good portion of the Philistines. But he never delivered Israel. There's a huge difference there. You know, God can use you to do something, but being a true deliverer means that you have to be willing to have faith in God. Samson had great power. Samson was able to do spectacular things, but he was never, ever clean up his own life. He was always too messed up with the sins of the world. He kept on going down to the Philistines and looking around. Why was he there? Because he was looking, he was admiring, and he became like them. Even in a time of great apostasy, one person who walks by faith can make a difference. The judges were common everyday people. If you look in the book of Judges, you see some guys, some women, and some men who were many times a little bit off. Many times there was some type of little handicap about them. Many times there was someone who had something that, no, I would have never chosen him. Gideon's like, what are you choosing me for? I'm over here, I'm hiding. I'm threshing wheat to where no one can see me. I'm under the hit. I'm hiding. I'm in the smallest family. I'm the least in the smallest family. There ain't no way you want to use me. That's the type of person God wants to use, a person who has faith. If you're able and willing to walk by faith, you can make a great difference. And that's the message of Judges, too. I agree. The stories are really cool, but we can't forget why they're there, why they had to be delivered. They allowed this great nation that had so much potential and so much possibility to deteriorate right before their eyes. And why they do that is because of the fact they allowed sin to stay around them and they would not get rid of it. They disobeyed God. Obviously, the day has changed. Times are different today. We're not going to be able to go out and kill people that are wicked just because they're wicked today. But we can live the holy life that God's asked us to live. Not tolerate sin in our lives. And let's not be like these people. And let's not stand by and let our country deteriorate in front of us. Instead, let's do the best we can to make a difference. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father,